There was no room in any of the hotels, nor in any of the rooming houses, and it was late in the day.
We'll sleep in the livery up in the loft. Tomorrow we'll have our baths.
When do we get something to eat? I'm hungry.
Right now, if you're that hungry.
I am.
The men found a cafe and had supper. Beef, beans, potatoes, bread, and a piece of pie. Frank got a big sack full of scraps for Wolf.
I feel better.
You should feel terrible. You ate enough for two people.
excuse me.
On the way back to the livery, the men encountered the marshal walking the boardwalk. The marshal paused and looked hard at Frank for a long moment. Frank watched the man's face tighten and his eyes narrow as he recognized him.
Evening, Marshal.
The man nodded his head, still not quite sure he was looking at the legendary gun handler. Frank gave the sack of scraps to Jeff.
Feed Wolf, will you, Jeff? I'll be along in a few minutes.
Sure. I want to pull off my boots and wriggle my toes for a while anyway.
Frank pulled out the Makins and rolled a smoke, and then offered the sack and papers to the marshal.
Smoke, Marshal?
Don't mind if I do. Are my eyes playing tricks on me? Are you really Frank Morgan?
In person.
Damn.
Pleasant evening to you too, Marshal. Not here to cause any trouble.
I'm sure you've heard this before, Morgan. Trouble follows you.
I've heard it a time or two.
The marshal popped a match into flame, lit his cigarette, and waited.
Marshal, met up with a young fellow wandering around on the trail. He's from New York City, first time out here. He's lost as a goose. I told him he could ride along with me. That's all there is to my being here.
I believe you, Morgan, but it still puts you here. You know, I reckon, about the bounty on your head.
I know.
$15,000 is a lot of money.
For a fact.
This town is full of trouble hunters. When the word gets around you are here, and it will real quick, there'll be men looking to call you out, and not just for the bounty.
I know it.
But you're still gonna stay here in Durango?
I am.
I figured you'd say that. How long are you gonna be in town, Morgan?
Quite a spell.
I figured you'd say that, too. Well, I reckon I'd better tell the Undertaker to get ready for some business.
Not necessarily. I won't start any trouble.
But you won't back down from any either?
I'll do my very best to try to talk it down if possible. But I won't back down from any man. Never have, never will.
That's about all I can hope for, I guess.
It's the best I can do.
All right, Morgan, I'll take your word for it. You seem like a straight shooter to me. Bad choice of words, wasn't it? Anyway, welcome to Durango.
He brushed by Frank and walked on down the boardwalk.
Seems like a nice enough fella.
Frank looked across the busy street and met the eyes of his son, Conrad. Frank lifted a hand in greeting. Conrad stared at him for a moment, then turned away without acknowledging the greeting in any way. The boy blamed Frank for getting his mother killed. Hopefully, he'd come around to thinking straight, or he wouldn't. Either way, Frank figured there wasn't a damn thing he could do about it. Frank felt eyes on him and looked down the street. The marshal was watching him. Frank held up a hand, signaling the marshal to wait, and walked down toward him.
Got a question for you, Marshal.
All right.
The Pine and Van Bergen gangs around?
I heard about that woman getting killed up north a few months back, and I also heard she was your ex-wife. Any truth in that?
Yeah.
Oh, brother. Word around town is that young uppity rich dude Conrad Browning is your son. Any truth in that?
Yeah. Although I'm sure it hurt Conrad's mouth to admit it.
I guess I understand that.
He didn't know until a few months ago.
Well, in answer to your question, yes. The Pine and Van Bergen gangs are around. But Vic and Ned never come into town. At least I've never seen either of them come in.
You can expect them to now.
Because of you?
Yeah.
The marshal frowned and then shrugged his shoulders.
You have any more good news you want to tell me?
Gangs might just be after Conrad, too.
Have you seen those bodyguards of his?
Two of them.
He has four big bruisers.
But they're not Western men.
The marshal gave that a few seconds thought.
No, they're not. I see what you mean.
They're not going to react the same.
No, probably not. Damn, I'll have to keep an eye on young Browning's girlfriend, too.
Conrad has a girlfriend?
Yes, she came to town a few days ago on the stage from back east somewhere. Two young people seem to hit it right off. Though personally, I think Conrad is a stuck-up, fancy-pants little turd. She's a real pretty little thing. Colleen something or other.
Well, it certainly didn't take her long to find herself a beau.
Conrad has a good eye for the ladies.
The two men prepared for sleep on the hay in the loft of the livery.
Colleen sure is a pretty girl.
Go to sleep, Jeff. She isn't the only fish in the ocean. You'll feel better in the morning.
I suppose so. Have you ever seen the ocean, Frank?
What?
The ocean. Have you ever seen it?
Seen the Pacific Ocean a couple of times. It was beautiful.
Wolf padded softly through the thick hay, lay down between the two men, and curled up. Frank reached out and petted the animal. Wolf licked his hand and moved closer to him.
She sure is a pretty girl.
She'll be just as pretty in the morning, Jeff, after we get a good night's sleep.
Jeff didn't take the hint.
You've told me about your wife, Frank. Now tell me this, if you will.
Frank waited. And waited.
What is it, Jeff?
Was there ever another lady you cared for?
No.
You've been in love just the one time?
I reckon so, Jeff. There have been other women, yes, but they were just passing interests.
Ships that pass in the night.
I beg your pardon?
Longfellow.
Go to sleep, Jeff. Tomorrow's gonna be a very busy day.
Yes, of course. We have to find us a place to live, and I have to stake out some sort of claim, right?
That's right.
I'll put Colleen out of my mind.
I sure hope so. If you don't, it's gonna be a damn long night. What in the hell?
Frank grabbed for his pistol.
Is it the end of the world?
It's horrible!
What is it?
Paulette Tremaine done got religion and shut down her house!
Oh, no!
All the whores done quit, too! They all joined a church in the temperance movement.
You don't mean
that. I do. It's all the fault of that buffalo-butted woman from back east. That damn Martha Hornblower.
Hornblower?
Something like that. It's all her fault. She's leading a torchlight parade down Main Street. There's gonna be a big meeting right afterward.
This I gotta see. Come on.
Martha Overhauser.
The one and only.
Frank lay back down and pulled the blankets over him.
You don't want to go see?
Hell no. Someone's liable to take a shot at Martha. What's so funny?
If she was bent over, even I could hit her.
Well, she is mighty ample in the rear end for effect.
Jeff crawled to the loft door and looked out.
Whole bunch of ladies out there. And some men, too.
In the parade?
Yes.
Local ministers, I bet.
And there's Martha leading the pack.
Can you see Colleen?
Colleen? Why, she wouldn't be involved in something this silly.
Don't bet on it.
I think I'll go down and take a look.
You go right ahead. Me and Wolf will stay here. You can tell me all about it in the morning.
This is important, Frank.
Jeff pulled on his boots.
Not to me.
Well, I'll try not to wake you when I get back.
Have fun.
Frank snuggled deeper into the hay. Wolf moved closer to him. They both went back to sleep.